Welcome to the future of podcasting in the past. This is Laser Graves.
That's going to work. You know why?
Failed intros.
Not failed, because I know something you don't.
Qua.
I just inserted a bunch of futuristic laser sounds over that.
Can you also make
and
sure
explosions.
That our voices sound very robotic?
Probably not. I am your co-host, DK Wimmer.
I'm Mariah Rose Wimmer.
And you're listening to Laser Graves, a podcast about the 80s. I would like to, right away, take a moment to thank everybody who has been listening and downloading. We have had a nice steady increase of listeners in the last few episodes.
An explosion.
Yeah, it's a Skynet explosion of new listeners.
Oh.
And it's just been, it's nice to know that people are digging what we're doing or telling friends or whatever, so.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
This week, we are going full mainstream. I think this is probably, well, maybe Witches of Eastwick was more.
Yeah, it's in the same vein.
It's same, yeah. We're going pretty mainstream here, but it's still a cult classic. And I would still qualify it, even though it's gone on to huge success, as still a cult film, is The Terminator, 1984. And, fun fact, This is our third movie in a row that's from 1984.
Weird.
I know, we need to change it up.
You know, when we sat down to watch this, I forgot what Terminator was and thought we were watching T2, and I was so excited, and then realized we were watching Terminator and had to adjust my sails to catch the wind.
Wrong decade.
Whatever.
I've always loved this movie. I would have never considered doing this for Laser Graves, but somehow it was like a perfect fit. So
it was just there in the stack.
It was awesome. Yeah, it was a pretty big stack this week that you went through and you chose The Terminator.
For new listeners, he will bring me we're going to cover a movie. He goes into his movie vaults, and that's actually just our garage. But he comes out with a stack of movies, and I choose the movie I'm least likely to fall asleep watching.
Which you did not fall asleep watching.
It was a close call, though, at the very, very end.
Very, very end, but you made it.
I did.
Okay, well, before we get into this week's episode, let's go over some stuff. You got a thrift store find of the week for me?
Yeah, it's not my own, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Well, last weekend, took our daughters and drove, it's on paper 10 hours, but when you're driving with children, it's more like 15 hours up north to Wyoming, where you decided to text me and say, can you go by Sissy's, while I was enjoying just some family time. So I had to drive to...
For the record, it's like 15 minutes away.
And I went into one of the last VHS sales. Are they renting them still? I don't really know.
No, they're just the former stock. When they switched over to DVD, they just put them all in the back.
Okay, so I went to a movie rental place.
Right.
And I met the legendary Sissy, and I was expecting her to be a darling. She was not happy to see me. I think she maybe likes you, because she was kind of rude. Took me to a back room and was like, here. And pointed to a box, and I took photos, and you didn't find anything, but she had left Leprechaun 4.
No, 3.
3.
Yes. Yes. It was a replacement, because I had it already, but my slip on the VHS was really beat up, and I knew that one was in better shape. So thanks for grabbing that for me.
So my entire, and it's not really a thrift store, but secondhand find would be Leprechaun 3.
Yeah, this is a solid find.
The best part, though, was that I had my brother, who's 6'4", with me, and he was so confused by the entire experience. He just stood there like a confused giant in this, like, low-ceilinged, paneled room. It was pretty good.
Yeah, that's...
What about you?
I had a pretty amazing thrift store find this week, and not what I was expecting. I went in after work one day. On my way home, I swung in to a thrift store where there's never anything, really, and...
What thrift store?
Just the Goodwill by our house. They just have... The current group of employees make no effort to put new stuff out regularly, especially, like, VHS and books and stuff, which we normally shop. And so I went there, there was nothing new, and then... like a horror book caught my eye, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool looking. And I started looking, and I realized that somebody had dropped off like a stack of old horror novels, which we sometimes will buy if they're like special. Then we don't just buy any of them. And so I started looking through, and then I recognized a few right away. I particularly will buy, I don't normally buy horror novels, but I'll buy movie tie-ins to horror novels. So, you know, like Friday the 13th or mm-hmm. something like that. And I spotted Pin, which is this Canadian horror film, really weird slow burn film for anybody who's seen it. And it was the book for it. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. I'll definitely buy that. And then I didn't realize right next to it was an Omen one. And I was like, all right, cool. And then the two big ones, one was The Elephant Man, which I didn't even realize there was like a novel for it. But that was awesome. And it's got the VHS cover for it, that black and white image. And then the big, big one that was like top of the top was the novel for Halloween 2. And it is in perfect condition. And that is not a cheap book by any means. So
yeah, I noticed you were not entertained when I pretended to spill on it.
Yeah,
you didn't even acknowledge that.
I was very happy. So I found a whole stack of cool like horror movie tie-in novels for next to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a great find.
Cool.
Yeah, there you go. And boy, I really want to talk about Terminator, but we gotta talk about one more thing.
Fun facts.
I'm dying to know your interesting fact of the week about yourself.
My fun fact about me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll keep it short and weird. When I was 5, I had my appendix removed, but while they were digging around in there, they also took out my Meckel's diverticulum.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
That's why God made Google. Look that one up.
I can also spell it, which I feel proud of.
Okay. My fun fact about myself this week is in the 80s, I had a legitimate concern and fear for all of my blonde-haired, blue-eyed friends that they were going to be abducted by Satanists because it was the satanic panic. I used to walk with them, and I would look out for like vans and stuff because I didn't want them to get abducted and sacrificed. So there you go.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, even though I was like full on listening to like metal.
So when like Children of the Corn came out, were you kind of torn about it?
Yeah, I just thought they looked like demons.
Well, were you like, now they're evil? I don't know how to, should I protect them? Or
yeah,
I
it was
a
very
go?
Confusing time in my life.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. This week, it's time to get into it. The Terminator, which I have written at the very top of my notes. I will do my very, very, very best. Laser Graves honor to not do a Schwarzenegger impression this whole entire episode.
But he says the line.
I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. It's not even that. He says other things that it's going to be hard to even say out loud without saying it in his voice.
Yep.
But you're welcome ahead of time.
Oh, I hadn't even thought of it. And now that you've said that,
I know.
Like, it physically is hurting me to think about holding it in.
It's like all I want to do now is talk like him. All right, Terminator, let's just get into it. Let's see how it goes.
Let's agree that when we're done, we turn off the mics and just like let it
rip. Oh, yeah. The rest of the night, we'll talk like
it's like our friend told us of the term defarture after you leave somebody's house where you've been holding it in and you just rip them. This is Arnold Defarcher.
Yes, we'll wait until after this episode. All right, 1984, directed by the one and only James Cameron. This was his second film. Do you remember what his first film was?
Mm-mm.
Piranha 2.
Really?
Yeah. That's kind weird. Of a cool first film to come out
That's
swinging with.
Strange start.
Yeah, well, I mean, a pretty solid start if you ask me. So he had this film going. Interesting fact about this one is that he was ready to get started, but Arnold, who had been cast as the Terminator, obviously, for those of you that don't know it, he was in the middle of finishing up a Conan film, I think The Destroyer, and couldn't do it yet. So James was ready to go and couldn't get into another whole film. So he took on a couple more projects while he was waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And so he took this time to kind of tweak this script a little. And then the other ones that came across his desk were Aliens and Rambo First Blood, and he wrote all three at the same time.
Jeez
and he
please.
Used three different desks so that he could keep those scripts completely separate and not Ooh. Get confused. And he would just go from desk to desk working on the scripts.
That's strange.
And he did them
I
all.
Like it.
Isn't that awesome? I thought that was an interesting fun fact.
Okay.
I do know that we should talk about the composer.
Oh.
Because I saw his name, Brad Fidel, and I thought, wait a minute. I know that name for some reason.
Okay.
It's because he's returning.
From?
Eyes of Fire. Oh. Yeah, he's our same composer. He also did Fright Night, Just Before Dawn, uh-huh. all these kind of cool films. And I do like, well, we'll get into it. Mm. There are moments of this score I like. There are moments that drive me absolutely bananas. But that's our composer. We're familiar with his work already.
Okay. So, yeah, so we start in 2029, so 10 years in the future from our present, in Los Angeles. It's basically a scene of, like, skull crushing by robot machines, a war zone, and then a full intro about the rise of the machines, and then how it's starting here, tonight, ..
Yeah, pretty cool war, futuristic war with machines.
Yeah, and then it goes, it's 1984, which is apparently tonight, at 1:52 a.m., and then this is where I realized we aren't watching Terminator 2, and in my notes I wrote a sad crying face.
No, instead we get introduced to the nude bubble. I love, as a kid, I thought this was the coolest freaking thing in the world, when the bubble appears and then he's like nude
in the Atlas pose. Nude electric power squat.
Oh, it is so amazing, and I love how the trash guy who's cruising around, well, is like not having any part of this. He's like crazy, just drives off.
As
like, you know, Arnold gets up totally naked from a electric bubble.
You know, it was at this moment when he gets up and he looks around that I realized Arnold always has a little bit of a fart sniffing look.
He does, when he's serious.
Like he's got, which I feel justified in saying this because it's something my family has, the large flared nostrils. So you always kind of look like you're just deeply inhaling a smell you kind of don't like.
I think it's his attempt to look really serious.
Yeah. I feel like, I'm going to try and look serious because I feel like it's something we have in common.
No, you look like you're trying to sniff a fart.
No, that's this.
Oh, that's true. There is a good distinction. Yeah, okay. Way to clear that up. Well, he's walking through, and then he kind of is walking around naked and comes across a group of street punks, which, man, is there anything cooler than late night city scene in the 80s with street punks?
Oh, this is great because they are looking for trouble whilst looking in a telescope.
Oh, I love that. I love that they're like fighting over it. And what it is one of those sightseeing, like if you were to look at the Statue of Liberty, yeah. Put a quarter in a telescope for like a moment. It's one of those. And they're like fighting, like, come on, man.
And like busting bottles on it.
Yeah, because that's what punks do at night.
But the highlight of this is lead punk.
That's right. Punk leader with quite a look. Thespian, jack of all trades, the late, sad Angel Wings, Bill Paxton.
Yeah, he's great.
He is fantastic. I love him in so many things.
We just watched him in Club Dread recently, so.
I later found out that there was like a limited vinyl release of the four or five songs that he sings, including Pina Coladaberg and whatever else he does, but I don't have it. Man, Bill Paxton, he's in Near Dark. He's in everything.
He steals the show. He has the spikes, like super long spikes that are gelled. In high school, one of our friends had me do this to her hair right before school. So we'd sit outside in the grass and I would put like globs of gel on my fingers and pull her hair up into little spikes everywhere. So I know the effort that went into Bill Paxton's look.
Yeah, well, it was worth it. It was only momentarily, though, because we get a very quick nude knife fight, which is pretty awesome.
And lots of switchblades. You don't see switchblades much anymore.
In our bathroom, you see switchblade combs.
Yeah.
But no, you don't see switchblades anymore, but you do see in this film a very nude fight with a very buff Arnold, and he rips one of their hearts out. That's pretty cool.
That's really over the top, just to get their clothes, basically.
That's extreme.
And he wears their clothes, but when you look at their size discrepancy, it begs the question, how did this work?
Yeah, how do you fit, like, 50-inch in diameter, like, arms.
Pythons. Pure beef.
How do you put those into a tiny little trench coat?
To a skinny punk's clothes.
I tried to look up some fun facts for this because everybody's seen it. So I'm like, well, what are we going to even offer? And then I realized there are so many facts about this. I didn't care. I just glazed over. But one of the ones I did pick up on is that filming was delayed for 2 days because the custom-made leather jacket that Arnold got, he didn't feel was manly enough.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's picky. Okay.
It's pretty awesome, though. Well,
this is when the second guy, Reese, arrives.
Yeah, we get double bubble. So there, here comes another new
double bubble.
Although not nearly as impressive. It really must suck to be like, it's my turn.
My bubble.
You're laying there nude and you're about like a fourth the size of the person right before you.
Thankfully, they didn't land together.
That would have been awesome. Like on top of each other, like a slapstick comedy.
Well, I was thinking more that would have just kind of ended the movie because Arnold would have just killed Reese.
No. Well, can I make an observation about Reese, who is our hero of the film, who mm-hmm. comes out. So he's following after the Terminator.
Yeah, he lands in an alley.
He's naked, nude. Too. And what I love is our first introduction to him, who's our hero, our good guy, is he steals a homeless man's pants. Like,
yes.
That's the first act of kindness.
Well, he's desperate. And in all fairness, the homeless man did have long johns on. But I was really troubled by this because you know that those were some really bad pants. They cannot have been clean because the man was probably just living in them constantly. And yet Reese, when faced with an opportunity to change his pants at any time in the movie, opts out. He wears those pants.
Yeah, they were warm. They were broken in.
Till death do they part.
Yeah. Well, he's walking around with a homeless man's pee pants on, looking for trouble. And then we just get such a cool 80s street feel. The whole, like, nighttime 80s scene. And this whole film is just solid.
It's really a dark film, too, like, it's,
yeah, color-wise. Well, it was originally supposed to be a horror film, not really a sci-fi film. And okay. It just kind of test audiences or whatever started to make it lean that way.
How could it be anything but sci-fi?
Well, I think it was meant to be a much more, like, dark, gritty horror.
So, like, a sci-fi horror.
Yeah, because it's interesting. This is another thing that I didn't realize, or I guess I've never really put together, is in the moments when Reese is having flashbacks, like in the near future of this film,
mm-hmm.
he has flashbacks to, or flash forwards, I should say, to the war that he's fighting.
Yeah.
And it's full on post-apocalyptic. And I've never, ever once, this is going to sound really stupid, I've never considered The Terminator a post-apocalyptic film.
Oh, that is weird.
Because it's just a sci-fi, it's just like The Terminator. It's like a cyborg film, but I always forget that it takes place in a post-apocalyptic future.
Hmm.
And so I just was like, damn, that's pretty cool. Now that I think about it, when people are like, well, name a post-apocalyptic film, I have never once been like The Terminator.
Well, I think it's because it's so campy and Arnold's acting and personality are just so big that you kind of neglect to notice everything else.
You know, beyond the homeless man's pee pants, you know, one other thing that he has that's really cool is he breaks into a store and gets some really sweet Nikes.
Well, he takes a little journey through the mall while he's trying to evade the police.
Yeah.
The best part is when he breaks out of the mall, he's grabbed a trench coat and Nikes, which he carefully secures on his feet, leaves on the pee pants, hops out, goes to a cop car, and just opens the door and grabs a shotgun.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
This is our hero. Our hero is robbed a homeless man, robbed a business, and now robbed a cop car.
Mm-hmm. But he didn't tear out anybody's hearts.
That's true. So he's got that working for him.
Yes. And then here's where we meet Linda, also known as Sarah.
Yeah. This is
Sarah Connor.
This is our big star, who, by the way, this is timely because the new Terminator is coming out and it's the whole cast has been reassembled and she's in it. She's in it with Arnold. So
This
is exciting. I mean, James isn't directing it, although he didn't direct part three either, but he's, you know, helped produce it and write it. So that's cool.
So she is late for what will be her last ever day of work. That really struck me because I was like, hey, she doesn't even know it. After this waitress shift, she doesn't have to go back to work. It's the beginning of the end of the world.
It's true, yeah. It's
like, what a treat.
It's almost Judgment Day.
Almost. She's lucky. Anyway, she doesn't know, but it's her last day of work. She's late. She just starts being a waitress. It's weird, though, because she has like a really dumb experience as a waitress that I guess is an attempt at humor. I didn't really understand what all of that was. It was like a kid putting a meatball in her pocket.
Oh, yeah. That was out of place,
and
for sure.
And getting, like, orders wrong. I mean, I could see, like, her being frazzled and frustrated, but other
yeah,
than that.
Yeah, the kid putting a meatball in her pouch was strange. Although, when we go back to the scene after this, the, like, night scene, this is mm-hmm. when I noticed the soundtrack, at least here, was really cool, kind of synthy 80s soundtrack. And then we see Arnold, who was what a cool cast. He is like the perfect cast for this, especially at this time in his career. I love that his collar is flipped to make him even more menacing. Like, mm-hmm. he's a cool guy with the collar flipped. I am going to tell you another really interesting fun fact, because some of my favorite scenes in the entire film, the shots of him driving at night, just looking around mm-hmm. With that glare on his face.
Yep.
It's so classic 80s, like, synth stuff. But the person who was considered, well, I have two for you. One was Mel Gibson was offered it, and he turned it down. And then when he later saw Arnold in it, was like, you guys, that was the right decision. He's perfect mm-hmm. for it.
Yeah.
But the one who was considered, but then they passed on, was because they said he's too kind looking and nobody would ever believe him to be a killer.
Who?
O.J. Simpson.
Ew, no!
Isn't that so
that's
interesting?
Weird.
Yeah, so there you go.
Okay. So this is also where Arnold starts gathering weapons and he begins hunting down Sarah Connors. He looks him up in the phone book and starts carefully going them. The first one, he goes to her house and he's like, Sarah. And she said, yep. And he kills her.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty dark too. But prior to that, when we're at the gun shop, this is when I had to make a note. Do not make an Arnold impression. Yeah. I'm going to attempt to say this word without any inflection of an Arnold impression.
Ooh.
He says the word Uzi.
Oh.
And he says it in such an Arnold way.
Yes.
That it is killing me right now to not say it, but I'm not going to.
It's oozing with Arnold.
It is something. So
Uzi oozing with
Arnold.
I
just have to really practice some extreme self control.
Yes. Good work. Good work to you.
I got through it. I got through that note.
Back to, we have parallel crime sprees, essentially. Arnold's obviously on a killing spree.
Is this when he grabs that hipster farmer guy that's at the phone booth?
Oh,
did you notice that guy? He's got this huge beard and long hair and his overalls, and Arnold just comes and like pushes him out of the way.
Yeah.
He's like on the phone though.
No, that's I kind of skimmed past that. That's just how he got all of the Sarah Connors. And then Reese, meanwhile, hotwires a car, and then after hotwiring a car, he just kind of zones out and has pretty serious laser war flashbacks.
Oh, big time flash forwards. And
yes,
it's really interesting.
Flashback forward.
This is when I started to lose the score a little, because the score minus one decision would have been incredible the whole film. It's got this great, like, do-do-do-do-do, you know, thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the trumpet solos.
It's not a trumpet. but it's pretty damn close. It's this, like, orchestra strike that we talked about in another film. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it was the same. No, it wasn't the same composer. But it's like, maybe it was, now that I'm thinking about it. Was it Eyes of Fire that also did this?
I don't know.
There's this, like, burp, burp. Like, orchestra strike.
All those Casio keyboards at that time had the orchestra strike, and it was like, I remember freestyling and really.
And that's clearly
that
what he's doing.
Strike
it is so, so freaking annoying in this film. It's just nonstop, like slamming
it's
on the
like
key.
It's like an element of chaos.
It drives me crazy, because the whole time underneath that nonsense, you can hear this awesome score happening. I'm like, what were you thinking? I don't think it was this. I think it was Monkey Shines.
You know what I think you should do the next film you score?
Yeah.
Exclusive orchestra strikes.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to work it in. Dude.
No, only orchestra strikes.
I think just
nothing
as
else.
An inside joke, I will find a way to work in at least one orchestra strike in my next score.
Oh, you should do it in
this honor
podcast.
Of this. In honor of Laser Graves.
Do it.
Okay. We'll see how that goes.
Okay. Also, as I was watching this, I felt like the worlds of the Matrix and the Terminators could have crossover. because we've got like future world. Not that they should, because let me be clear, I do not think this should happen. I feel like that would be a major snooze fest, but I feel like it could happen.
I bet you it's already happened. It's probably happened in like fan fiction stuff.
Ew,
I'm sure.
No.
And they like make out and stuff.
Gross.
I'm sure of it.
Arnold and Neo.
When? Yeah, totally. Mr. Anderson, what are you doing? So, I also, Sarah Connor has a cool Jetson shirt. Did you see that?
Yeah, it was cool.
Really cool. I'd wear that.
Yes.
Her roommate, Ginger. Wow. Ginger is your quintessential 80s chick.
80s roommate. She only wears headphones. Doesn't matter. If she's making a sandwich, doing her hair, getting laid, she's going to have those headphones on.
And she does all of those in this film.
That's
with
all
headphones
she does.
It reminds me of, it's the 80s chick who's always got the headphones and is always like tapping her feet and spinning around.
Yeah. And like going, ooh, da-da-dow. As she's going.
Okay.
What song does that anyway?
So for our listeners, this is why you want to listen to Laser Graves, because we're about to give you a suggestion of something to look up that you would not know about normally. Is speaking of listening to people breathe and tap in an 80s video. Would you like to explain? Because I feel like everybody, if you haven't already looked up Kazoo Kid because of us, Kazoo! Then that sucks for you. But this one, you definitely want to look up.
Yeah. So first you have to go watch, and maybe you've already heard of this, go watch Dancing in the Street, the Mick Jagger, David Bowie collaboration. Just watch the first like 3 minutes. You don't really have to watch the whole thing.
Or like, or do you?
Minute and a half. And then watch, it's just type in Dancing in the Street silent. And it's just like Foley work. It's
Somebody
so funny.
They removed the audio and just replace it with them like actually going like dancing and like tapping
so
and going yee woo.
And then like somebody whisper sings there. That's a good.
Yeah. Man, you know those kind of laughs that are so hard that your, like, stomach hurts?
Mm-hmm.
Every time I have ever watched that, cannot help myself.
It's good.
So do yourself a favor. Go Google that, watch it, and you can thank us for it.
So Ginger and Sarah are teasing their 80s manes straight up to the sky.
Yeah.
Prepping for a double date. And then this is where Sarah reveals herself to be an iguana owner.
Yeah, what the hell is with an iguana in this? What does it have anything to do with anything?
It has nothing to do with anything. And I was just mostly troubled with a stray iguana walking around their apartment, pooping and peeing willy-nilly.
I would have loved if there was one shot in the film that just showed the iguana walking, like maybe like there's a corpse on the ground, and then it pans to the iguana walking by, but with little headphones on. That would have been incredible.
That would have been good.
You gotta write a film. Okay.
So Sarah's date cancels on her, and so she has to leave the apartment because Ginger decides that she's just going to have her boyfriend over for a little Friday night delight. And Sarah decides she's going to go to see a movie by herself. So she heads out. Ginger and her boyfriend are humping and she's listening to headphones and he like turns it up.
Mm-hmm.
That's so awkward. That scene made me very uncomfortable.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so she goes to the coolest name for a bar ever.
Oh, I know.
Tech Noir.
Yeah.
So awesome.
Can we call our house Tech Noir?
Oh, we should refer to our studio as Tech Noir.
Okay, I like that. Because our house is actually named Goathead Manor.
Yeah.
Okay. So Sarah realizes she's next on the phone list of murders and realizes at the same time that she's being followed. She thinks she's being followed by the murderer, but it's actually Reese who is, I guess, there to help her. The Terminator, meanwhile, breaks into her house and kills Headphones Ginger and her boyfriend. And as he's, like, satisfied with his work, he thinks he'd killed Sarah Connor, but he hears Sarah leaving a voicemail on her own answering machine and realizes he just killed Ginger, Ginger.
Speaking of this scene, so this is something I remember. This is in my brain as a child. Was this scene was shocking to me because I didn't see her being killed, like Ginger. I thought, I just didn't see that developing and when it first happened. And then it's so violent because he shoots her like 6 times. It's pretty wild.
It's overkill.
What was your... when did you first see The Terminator?
Oh, high school. I wouldn't have been allowed to. Any younger.
So you saw it when you were a teenager?
Probably.
Do you have any memories of watching The Terminator? Is it all T2?
I've seen Terminator so many times. I can't even say when I first saw it. I probably, this is my guess, I probably saw it on like USA or TNT like one Sunday afternoon, the highly edited version, and then finally saw the real version years later.
I just remember being really surprised by
it. How old were you? Like 5?
Yeah, probably. I wouldn't be surprised. Sarah is calling the cops from Tech Noir because she's being followed. And what's interesting is that the cop says, she's explaining what's happening, and the cop says, I'll have a car there in a hot minute.
Yeah, I like that. And I was like, how can I use hot minute?
Well, I hear hot minute, and I never realized that hot minute was like an older term. I thought that was a newer term. There you go.
It's old.
Yeah.
She also, when she called Ginger and told Ginger what's what, on the voicemail, she gave her exact location, so Arnold just goes, cool, and heads on over.
He shoots up the bar, too.
Yeah, we have the police, we have the Terminator, and we have Reese. They all have a shootout, and Sarah and Reese escape, essentially.
Yeah, and it's really cool. There's one line that I love. It's pretty classic, but I love when Reese is, like, shooting up. So he's blasting Arnold, and everything's pure chaos, and she's totally like, what the hell's happening? And he looks down at her and he says, come with me if you want to live. And I just thought, that's such a classic, cool line, because he's this guy from the future who's shooting this like machine guy who seems indestructible. Mm-hmm. And she is just so confused as to what's happening. And he tells her that line. And I thought, man, what an interesting decision to be put into.
Mm-hmm.
Where, what do you even do in this moment?
Yeah.
But she does go with him. We do not need to get into the weeds with all of this.
It's just like basically a car chase for the rest of the movie.
Well, there is some car chasing. I love Terminator vision. It's pretty cool, too. The like red screen.
Yeah.
It's like the Apple II screen or something. I mean, it's hilarious.
Yeah, and this is also an important point to note, that Terminator loses his eyebrows to what I assume is road rash.
He has no eyebrows.
Which is just further like emphasizing that he's not a human, I think, which is unfair to people who don't have eyebrows.
Right. But one scene I do want to talk about is the scene that solidified The Terminator as being like one of my favorite films as a kid, because I loved this one.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. And it's mainly because of this one scene that actually gets a lot of flack because of it, is when he has to repair himself. Mm-hmm. And he goes into that bar bathroom. I love the scene when he splits his arm open and
the cyborg hand.
Yeah,
surgery.
You can see the mechanics in his arm. Okay, so let's talk about the face. Like it doesn't look good. I will be the first to admit that.
It's 1984.
Come on, man. It's already, yeah. He cuts out his own eyeball, throws it in there, and then you see the red eye underneath, but then he puts his shades on. Everything about this as a kid is like the coolest of absolute cool. And I just thought that this was the most amazing thing ever.
Yeah.
Just the way he looked like this machine covered in human skin.
Sure, it doesn't stand the test of time, but I could see where it would be thrilling to audiences.
Some of it does, though. Some of it is actually pretty awesome.
The hand is okay. The head is weird.
Yeah, the face is bad. It's really bad, but it's the thought that counts.
Is it?
It's had a huge impression on me as a kid.
Okay.
I loved it.
So, meanwhile, Reese and Sarah have become fast friends.
Have they?
And they had ended up in the police station while Arnold has, like, runs away for his cyborg self-surgery. And then he goes to the police to, like, find them. He goes to the police station hunting for Sarah.
Yeah, so in the film, Reese is arrested because he's on this car chase. They think he's crazy because he's like, I'm from the future and there's a machine coming. And it's interesting when the cop tells Sarah, you're safe here. There's like 30 cops. I read a fun fact that if you count the kill count, it's exactly 30.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
That is cool.
Still nowhere near Alien Space Avenger,
no,
but they tried.
You can't even. Nobody can touch that.
Nobody. But it's pretty cool. They escape.
Yeah. Oh, this is also the I'll be back scene, which I said with no Arnold inflection.
Nothing. No. Totally straight.
Dead.
Midwestern.
So they, after the police station, everybody makes their escape again. Reese has found Sarah and they escape once again. Arnold's still in hot pursuit. But Sarah and Reese take shelter in, like, a culvert under a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of character building between them. Like, every time they're alone, even though they're being pursued, she is asking about the future. He's trying to explain why he's there and things like that. So that their dialogue is really important to moving the story along, keeping it from just being a robot is chasing them.
Yeah, and it's really nice because we get a lot of backstory about the future. And also, this is when we learn about John Connor, who is her son.
Son-to-be.
And is going to be the savior of, like, the human race, basically, of the uprising.
I'm never sold on John Connor being the savior. Because, honestly, it sounds like crap.
Yeah.
The future sounds real junky and doesn't seem like he saved it. It's maybe a little bit better.
No, it does, because in this film, in the very first one, he says that we defeated them. And we were about to, like, basically start the new. And then when they found out they were being defeated, that's mm-hmm. when they went back in time to stop him from ever being born.
Okay.
So he does save them. It's just that we never get to see that kind of post.
Well, he hasn't saved them, but they think they're being saved, and they don't know what the future holds next. So, in the culvert, she discovers that he's been shot, he being Reese, at some point. And then she starts yelling at him, because she's annoyed that he keeps talking about things she hasn't yet done in the past tense.
Right.
So, okay, that could be frustrating, but also, he's a man with a gunshot. Maybe don't shout at him.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a strangely tense situation.
You know what really helps this situation?
Future flashbacks.
No, more orchestra stabs. Doom, doom, doom.
Okay. So we do some future flashbacks. There's, like, sad kids who are having, instead of watching TV, they're having a fire in a burned out TV. that made me laugh. And then there's a Terminator invasion of one of their strongholds. And we learn that Reese has been, like, a longtime Sarah Connor fan. He has been keeping a photo of her.
Boy, has he.
Creep. And then, meanwhile, the Terminator is starting to look pretty goth at this point.
Yeah.
He's, like, black, wearing all black. His skin is pasty white, no eyebrows. And he's just wandering around LA trying to figure out where to go next.
Yeah, he looks pretty awesome.
And also, still note, Reese is wearing the transient's pants.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And then Arnold finds Sarah Connor's mom, and he impersonates her on the phone to find the location of where Sarah and Reese have hidden. So
is this when they're in the hotel room?
Yeah. So they make their way out of a culvert into a hotel, and she calls her mom to check in. Okay. So in the hotel, Reese is teaching Sarah Connor, like, the trade skills she'll need for the future. And he teaches her bomb making, the subtle art of bomb making, if you will.
Do you think that John Connor taught him how to make bombs? And so it's kind of weird because she's learning her son's technique.
Creepy. Father, son teaches father, teaches mother.
Yeah.
Teaches son. It would be a perfect little circle because she'd have to teach him. And this is where Reese kind of reveals his feelings.
Oh, yeah. The oldest trick in the book.
Yeah.
To say I love you.
Wear your transient pants.
Yeah.
And reveal your love.
She's just like, I love the smell of homeless urine.
He tells her he loves her, and then he violently starts packing bombs. Did you notice that?
No,
they have all these pipe bombs, and he just starts slamming them into a backpack after he reveals his love.
After he, like, gets on her about, like, careful, careful, is she screwing on the lid? Yeah.
Dumb.
Whatever.
And then she distracts him with sex.
Yeah.
Oldest trick in the book.
Absolutely.
Stop slamming those bombs into your backpack.
Yeah. He's got a pipe bomb for her. And then Arnold's onto them.
So he's run over by a semi. Arnold is run over by a semi. as Sarah Connor flips her vehicle, and then he just hops in and takes over the semi.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. He really likes driving diesels, doesn't he?
Yeah. He goes nuts in his big rig, and then Reese uses the hastily packed pipe bombs to blow up the semi.
That truck blows up, and he gets out on fire, and this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Because his face is burning off. Oh, man, this whole scene is really cool.
Tell us about it.
Yeah. We did it, Kyle. Nope. Fail.
Mm-mm.
Because this is where we get the true Terminator, the machine. This is really cool. However, it is does not hold up, and it looks really bad.
No, it's pretty cheesy.
I mean, I'm a huge, huge fan of stop motion animation, but this is just, it's rough. Although for the time, it's not like RoboCop rough, but it's really cool. It looks cool. I'm a fan.
You're saying it looks terrible, but it looks cool?
It makes perfect sense in my mind.
Okay.
I think you know where I'm coming from. Like, yes, it's not the best, but for the time in which it was created, and just because I love the movie, I'm all in. It's like Clash of the Titans. Like, yes, Clash of the Titans doesn't have great special effects, but it also has amazing special effects. No, but they're awesome at the same time.
Yes, they're delightfully terrible.
Yes.
Okay, so his human skin suit melts off.
Yeah, like it does.
He's not dead, as they thought. And he still has some gas in his tank, so to speak. So he is still going to get Sarah. This harkens back to when Reese was like, he will not stop. He will go forever and ever after you.
Yeah, that was a pretty dark comment that he made.
I know. I would be pretty depressed.
Well, he says that in the scene I think you're thinking about is when he's in the police station.
Yeah, it's a ways back.
And they're like just ragging on him being crazy. And they're like, oh, this is great. This is hilarious. Like the psychologist is just thinking this is the funniest thing ever that he thinks from the future. But Reese like drops it on him. And he's saying this. Like basically, he is a machine and will not stop until she is dead. And it's really dark, but that's when we see at the end of this film here that it's true. It's this machine now with no skin left walking around still trying to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
But Reese blows up the Terminator, and the Terminator's like half body parts start kind of moving around, and it's really cool and weird. And then she leads him to this like press, because they're in like a factory.
They just randomly find themselves conveniently not at like a, I don't know, an egg like packing factory.
Yeah, totally.
It's a, like a metal factory. Crushing factory of some sort.
Laverne and Shirley factory instead. But yeah, it's really interesting. I do like that she terminates him at
end
by smashing him. And then she gets in a Jeep, and this is kind of the end. She's destroyed him. We're at the end of the film.
It's the end, but it's also the beginning. Eric.
She gets in this Jeep, and then there's this. She's recording a message to
her
John
son.
Connor, and she drives off. And that's kind of.
She's pregnant too, so this is where we realize Reese is the father.
Yeah,
of
he
John Connor.
Went to the past to impregnate her.
That's strange, but okay.
Yeah, it's. That's the film. I mean, she drives off.
Oh, and she's in Mexico, and a little guy takes her picture, and it's the picture that Reese will have in the future.
Yeah.
In his pocket.
It's
totally meta.
Well, I just...
Wow.
I don't know. When the film was done, it's interesting. We talk about this a lot. Doing a podcast, you have to actually think about films a bit more.
Nope, you do.
Yeah, right. I've always liked this film, but this is a solid film. I mean, this is, if you have criticism, I think you're digging pretty deep, because this is, as far as post-apocalyptic or sci-fi films from 1984, this is a super solid film.
Yeah,
it's
well-written,
it's well-acted, the special effects are great, it moves along at a really good pace. I mean, it's just so solid. I'd say my only real criticism is, the soundtrack.
Do you mean only the orchestra strikes?
That's exactly what
will
I mean.
Will you orchestra strike us out at the
I
end?
Will. It. You know when it reached the breaking point was when he was in the diesel driving around. And it's like, it just became like an orchestra strike. That's a hard word to say,
orchestra,
isn't it?
Orchestra strike. Say it three times.
I can't.
Orchestra strike. Orchestra strike.
It became an orchestra strike, like free-for-all at that point. It was like, brruh, 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 just over and over. And I was like, make it all end. Make it stop.
Make it continue.
Yeah, I'll lead us out. But before I do, that's your episode. That's The Terminator.
There you are.
Thanks for pretending you hadn't already seen it and knew everything we just said.
Well, I think also, though, a lot of people haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah, and I'll say you should watch it again because it holds up. I think
it's
a great,
pretty good. I mean, the effects awesome are definitely film. Dated, but other than that, it's good.
Not bad at all. I think it's a solid film. I really like it. If you like what you heard, you can follow us at Laser Graves on Instagram. You can check out our podcast on pretty much everywhere, Podbean and Spotify and iTunes and everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks again to everybody who started listening.
Yeah,
and downloading. This has been, it's been great to have it pick up because we're 41 episodes in now, so that's good. finally. And I think if you want to tell your friends, that would be very helpful. If you want to follow us, our personal sites on Instagram, I'm at Death at 33 RPM.
I'm at Mariah Rose Wimmer.
And until next week, have a fun orchestra strike.
Would you say we'll be back?
I would not say it. I would say it. Actually, I will say
no,
it.
No, don't.
Right after we're done.